wanted to talk about it. You know, just being down even St. Louis and doing work and talking to another, you know, pastor and another Christian, you know what I'm saying. One thing I realized, you know, is just that God wants to deal with the currency in the church, the currency of the kingdom, you know, what it values, what's most important. Oftentimes, I think that, you know, we can look at the church today and we can, you know, sometimes say where's the dedication or where's the faith, and, you know, in different, you know, sections I see, and, you know, you go to a prayer meeting of a church of 300 and there's, I remember one time there being 12 people. And that's a currency issue. That's a value issue. You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of that term Christian values has used to come up a whole lot, but really, the point that should be set is, what are those values? And normally, again, we talk about, well, you know, morality, stuff like that, but the currency in the kingdom, if God begins to change it, you'll see behavioral changes in yourself, your currency. What is your currency? What do you value? What is high? What is low? You can find out a lot about what you value, and that's a critical thing. I believe God wants to change some things, but currency of the kingdom is something that God puts in His Spirit in our heart and changes the way we look at things. It changes what we give most of our time to. It changes what we get emotionally involved with. You know, it's interesting. When even I go back to thinking of Judas betraying Jesus, you know, his currency, well, it was gain. It was greed. It was gain. And he's walking with Jesus, and in the end, he sells out the Son of God for 30 shekels of silver. His currency wasn't really kingdom currency, and his currency wasn't correct. And it's interesting because it says now, Satan being put into the heart of Judas, you know what I'm saying? But the thing that opened the door for that, I mean, the value system was completely off. So you want to mention, if you want to see a change, okay, and you're going to have to check your currency. You're going to have to check what you value. You're going to have to check what's most important. You know, many times people will be diplomatic to such a degree that their currency is to be liked all the time, to get along with everybody. And many times they will sell out principle for peace. Many times. Even in the church, I've seen situations to where calls needed to be made. I'm not even talking about in our church. And injustices were done. But the currency of the pastor was that he wanted to be liked. The currency of the pastor is he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to say anything that might upset anybody in any way. And therefore, his currency, it won out. Because of the currency of wanting to please people, because of the currency of never wanted to speak up or lay a bottom line down, then what happens with that is he betrayed the truth. He betrayed his duty as a pastor. And that's a currency thing. How you figure out your currency and your valuations is important because it affects every area of your life. But the Church of Christ needs to begin to ask itself, you know, what is its currency? Is it from God? Is it from the world? What do we value most? And there's a lot of areas of your value system that you need to look at. Because I think one of the problems, even when the term, you know, Christian values was thrown around a lot, normally, it was like, you know, my family's important and all that is good. But at the end of the day, we're going to have to sort out the currency that is the greatest part of us is, you know, pleasing God before man. That actually needs to be the highest prayer. I've seen people get even into family value currency and actually betray the scripture. I've seen kid worship, all kinds of things in the name of value, in the name of God's currency. But it's a question we need to ask more and more and more. And I'm going to tell you in your life what is going to happen. There are going to be times where you didn't even realize that your currency got shifted. You did value this. This was the kind of currency you dealt in. Now you value this. And it will not end really until you breathe your last. You know, I thought and I looked at the value of the Christ in the desert with Jesus. And it reminded me that Satan is offering things in the land of temptation, okay? And I think about even when you had the temptation of Christ, Luke 4. What does he do? The first thing, you know, sometimes people's currency, the thing they value the greatest is filling their belly, eating. First time Jesus gets hit, he says, you know, if you are the Son of God, turn these. He's been fasting 40 days. And he counted on his hunger being more valuable than obeying his Father. He counted on his currency being a particular way, and he hit him. The funny thing is about the devil is he's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He is a supernatural being and a super strong, the strongest evil supernatural being. But as he's approaching Jesus, it's not random what he's doing. Now we know if you go into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, remember, who was hungry? And you, huh?
Esau.
Right, Esau. Excuse me. Esau is so hungry, he's just famished. He comes in. He doesn't even value his birthright. And let me explain something with the patriarchs in Israel. Their birthrights were really critical because this was the line that God picked, that Messiah would come even where the throne of Jesus is going to be in the future. And the currency of Esau is so bad, just because he's hungry. And his greatest value, what he needed the most, the value system, I got to eat. And I got to eat no matter what, it matters. And he ends up selling out his birthright. And God had empowered the patriarchs where they could speak a blessing and it would be. They could say to one son, this is what, you know, the Spirit of the Lord will speak through them. And that was it. They could give a blessing, they could take a blessing. In that moment of hunger, the valuation system got so twisted, and a person sells his birthright for a bowl of lentils. I like lentils, but selling your birthright. But again, right again, the greatest value you could think of is that he was hungry. He wasn't starving to death. That also says a lot. When you're not starving to death and you're willing to sell your birthright for a bowl of lentils, you have a skewed view of your own heritage in God, his own identity in God. And he goes ahead and he does this thing and he sells his birthright. We have to be discerned when we look at things and stuff hits us and we realize we're in a situation and we realize that there is an unsettled currency. There's a wrong value system. And the minute it's there, we're going to act with it. Judas did it. Esau did it. I could go through scriptural name after name. Even when Abraham's wife was with him, she was a beautiful woman. And when the king saw her, he said, she's my sister. Because at that moment, just for the moment, Abraham's greatest value was protecting his own life, not even the wife. Because do you understand? They would take these maidens, the kings, and they would have their way. And it was only by the intervention of God that the king didn't... Well, he would have been a dead man if he had messed with her. But in that moment, there is a very bad value system. I want to stay alive. If I say she's my wife, they'll kill me so they can have her. I'll say she's my sister. He just about betrayed the covenant of God both for himself and for his wife. Because I want you to think about something. You get the patriarchs coming through of the 12 tribes of Israel and you look at Abraham. How critical is that call? Now we do thank God. And I see often God working in mercy. I see God in my own life and others. And I see him working very patiently. Because he could have just, you know what I'm saying, he could have just said forget it. But he didn't. But in that moment of desperation and fear hits Abraham, his value system gets tried, and there's a hole in it. There's an absolute hole in it. I need to stay alive. Even if it makes them, even if the cost is that they take the wife whom I love and take her into the king's quarter and he has sex with her, I got to stay alive. That's how that works. Do you know how many people I've seen get hit with fear and whatever chink was in their value system absolutely was it hurt them? And they found out in the moment of trial. In fact, a lot of times the currency you deal in and what matters the most and what you regard as gold, what you regard as silver, what you regard as valuable, many times under duress, I've seen it tried. I've seen men stand tall in the hardest of times and show their currency was godly, show that their currency system, their value system they had was from heaven. I've seen other Christians fold in a New York second and their value system was pathetic. They didn't have a value system. Now what's really critical is you have to understand that. So he offers him bread, turn these bread, this stones to bread. If you're the Son of God, he knew he could do it. If you're the Son of God, do this. He appeals to his hunger because hunger drives a lot of things. Don't think Satan's an idiot. He remembers Esau and what he did for his birthright. In fact, in a funny kind of way, him trying to tempt Jesus to eat and to follow his cues would have changed his very... I mean, it's a horrible thing that would have started happening. But the first thing is that. He's counting on that. Man's appetite will be a currency that will cause him to disregard many other values he has. Whether it's for power, whether it's for actual food, whether it's for lust, it doesn't matter. Now, it's interesting. What's he say the first thing? He says bread. Then the second one, he says, hey, if you know, I could give all these kings in the world power. The last thing, throw yourself off the temple. You know what's interesting about this? How much God loves you, he will keep you from hitting your foot against a stone. And yet Jesus says, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When Satan comes into church, he is always trying to either confuse or trying to pick apart at the currency of the value system of the church. He's trying to pick apart the value system in the individual heart of the Christian. He counts on it. And so many times he's on the money. He's actually not wrong. In fact, if you're the devil, this works 98% of the time. Use it. Think about what it says. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. You're going to see this pattern again and again and again. But what the church values, it will display. So if I go into a church and they have 250 members and they have six people at their prayer meeting, I'm seeing their currency. And is how they see prayer is not as gold and not as infinitely valued beyond all things. They see it as far lesser than its actual value. Again, the very work of the enemy isn't always to abolish the church that it stands or the building where people meet. But he loves that the value system, how they rate that in their value system is so low. And they are willing to trade a valuable currency for one less valuable. In fact, I've never seen a Christian where they had a valuable currency in their possession. Because here's the other part about currency and value. We have these values. They've been put in our spirit by God's spirit. When we were born again, there was a value system. Trust me, it's in there. But again, many times, because of how this stuff works, and what bothers me, and it really doesn't, I'm not really speaking from a gripe, because you guys are phenomenal with this. In fact, I've seen many times where there's a, prayer's looked at in a greater value. It needs to be. But many times, you know, you'll see pastors hitting their head against the wall, like, I don't get it, and they'll be preaching on the importance of prayer. And all of that's good, and they'll show the scriptures to talk about prayer. But many times, what many of us in ministry, we fail to realize is, yeah, I could come to a room full of people where the valuation of prayer is not even silver, not even copper, not even brass in their eyes. And the coins that represent the value of prayer in their life are common. And they look at it and say, that's a penny. You can't buy anything with a penny. Therefore, unless I had a gazillion of them, they're not special to me. I don't covet them. I don't put them in my pocket. Many times we're trying to preach into a condition that reveals a valuation system that is fallen, that is distorted, that is even deceived. God changes value systems, and he can take that penny of prayer you saw, and he can make it to you look like a doubloon that was taken out of a treasure ship, found, you know, 1,000 years later, worth a gazillion dollars. The beautiful thing about this is God is wanting, and he is moving to change the currency system of the church. Satan distorts this. Even when you look at the church, where many pulpits will, even this morning, will tell people how special they are, how important they are to God. And that's all they'll do. They won't talk about how big God is, how he should be bowed down and worshipped. And the whole time the enemy, and the enemy is subtle. He is changing currency, and he knows what he's doing. God is maybe a silver coin, but my esteem is a gold coin. And I deal in that currency. And my ears deal in that currency. I value that the most. So my ears pitch when I hear about how special I am. But that's the penny, how important God is. This is a penny. So when somebody starts talking about bow down, worship, give your life, that's pennies to me. I don't put those in my pocket. I don't even value them. My ears turn off at that very moment. They don't mean anything anymore. If we want to be real, sometimes we have to change for evaluation. And the funny thing is, the devil is so active in the valuation system of changing it or transforming it. He is so active. And many times we don't even know we've been hit. We've been robbed. We've been taken to the bank. We've been robbed at gunpoint and spiritually. And our valuation system is so screwed up in where we place the valuation of certain things. Imagine if you valued pleasing God or prayer or whatever, or obedience, the way you valued breathing or the way you valued eating. Imagine the feats we could do if the true kingdom currency was our currency. And truly, the funny thing about Scripture is it again and again spells out the currency of the kingdom. When Jesus came to the temple and he threw out the money changers, he says, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. They had reduced the currency of the house of God, the temple of God, which was the most sacred place on the planet, and used it as a vending machine to line their pockets. That one sounds super familiar and is relative today. And Jesus came in there, and when he starts flipping the money changers, he's saying, that table of money is worthless. Getting a shekel for an overpriced item is worthless. Those are pennies. This was the value. You've defaced it. You've did everything to it. You've defrauded it. You've made it worthless. People will come into the temple and you're a den of thieves and the currency system is completely wrong. And I love it how Jesus displays that, because turn over a money table with a man that's greedy and overcharging to where the money starts flying around. Watch that man go into a frenzy because he was there for that reason. Not at the outer court of the Lord, not the temple, not that the Ark of the Covenant was inside the temple. It was a means to make money. In fact, it's a miracle they didn't crucify Jesus right there for doing what he did. But God comes to his house through his son and shows us the value system and how messed up it is. And he says, the value system, here it is. My house shall be called the house of prayer. So this is what my house should look like. You've made it a den of thieves, but I'm giving you a warning. This is what this house was made for, not this. Your values are wrong, your priorities are wrong, and your value system is causing you to blaspheme against the very God of heaven. Here you sit in the courts ripping people off, right in the sight of God's presence. I believe God wants to change the currency of the church. But I believe the church has to think very hard, because sometimes we're trying to solve a problem and it is a valuation problem, it is a currency problem. It will not be solved by giving lectures or looking up some more scriptures, because when that currency gets changed, it's a matter of the heart, it's internal. And you can throw a bunch of scripture at it. You realize sometimes your valuation system, even when you hear truth, tempers what you're hearing. Sometimes people want to attain something so bad they don't even realize their currency system has been completely perverted and turned upside down. What they value the most is what they want, not what God wants. If we were honest with ourselves, we realize that many times we have all had our currency messed with, because that's a fact. I've lived long enough to watch this. But there it is. Matthew 6:19. I want to read through 21, and Jesus really talks about a simple thing. He says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where your moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the other part of the value system we have. What we call treasure, it's a huge part of it. What you allow to become treasure. This is the funny thing about treasures and what we regard as a treasure. It can shift, it can change all the time. When Jesus is talking to the disciples and he teaches in Matthew 6, it's amazing teaching. But right there he's starting to say, listen, what you treasure is where your heart's going to be. You can treasure a pile of poop on the floor, that's where your heart's going to be. You can treasure having more money than your neighbor, that's where your heart will be. You can treasure obtaining what you want, no matter what Bible verse you have to violate, no matter who you have to hurt, and that will be your treasure. And what you treasure, you'll hunt for. What you treasure, you'll go after. What you treasure, you'll give everything for. Remember when Jesus even talks about the pearl of great price? The kingdom of heaven is compared to a man. He finds a pearl in this lot. He sells everything he has to get that thing. What you treasure will dictate your currency for sure. Absolutely. What you make a treasure in your life will dictate your currency. It'll dictate how you make decisions. It'll dictate what gets you angry. It'll dictate your pursuit, your energy, and everything about it. Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of shekel. That was the valuation he had of Jesus. That's pretty bad. And the things that were important to God were not important to him. Many times I've watched a church, and you know this, I've seen ministries where the thing that's most important to them, I'll see pastors sit in a room, and it is disgusting sometimes, because what they value the most has nothing to do with what God values. How does a church become a cutting-edge church? I mean, a cutting-edge in God's eyes. I don't mean, you know, charismatic witchcraft or manipulation or a place where we honor personalities or charisma. I mean false charisma. There's such a thing as godly charisma. What you treasure will dictate what your currency is, for sure. I've seen people that they talk, I'm sold out to God, I'm sold out to God, I'm going to love God. And I've even seen people where every time they open their mouth in prayer, Lord, have your way. Sometimes that is such a disgusting statement because it is such a lie. I told a person once, I said, quit saying that. You say that all the time. I know as a fact by watching you live, that's not what you mean. Because I've seen God try to have his way. And when he does, you fight him. I've seen people call, you know, I love the Lord, I want God to have everything. And they may have a relationship, and that relationship, it gets threatened because of their walk with God, and they buckle. Now, here's the interesting thing about the currency system. Your value system can be so screwed up that you can pray the right things and say you want God to do the thing that he wants to do, and then you can value pleasing someone above pleasing God, and you can literally depart from the covenant you made with God. And then you can actually go with what you did and find another church that will never challenge your currency whatsoever. They will tell you how good you are. They tell you how special you are. They won't even say anything like this. The biggest problem with the church in America is if you don't like the doctrine here, just go down the street. It's somewhere else different. If somebody tells you you need to pick up your cross and die and follow Jesus, don't worry. You can find a church where they'll tell you you are the center of God's affection, you are the apple of God's eye, and your happiness is most important to God. Nothing else. And what a lie it is. And many men will go to hell. Many men and women will actually go to hell and burn because somebody gave them a value system that was evil, it was carnal, it was temporal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Here's the thing the enemy is going to try to do, and you can see it all the time. This is not only unusual what I'm saying, it happens all the time. If your value system is right and what you treasure is correct, Satan always tries to get you to trade silver for gold or even dirt for gold. He always tries to convince you of how much you need this, even though you have something more valuable than anything else, and he tries to get you to trade a piece for a piece. In fact, many times when it says you trade a truth for a lie, that's a change in your value system. It's synchronized, it's exact, it's thought out, it's premeditated on the enemy's part. He knows what he's doing. I've seen times where you get Christian families, and obviously they value at most not getting conflict at all. All hell will break loose. I don't like peacemaking when it's at the cost of the Prince of Peace. I really do not. That's a farce and a lie. And I've watched homes be destroyed again and again because the value system becomes improper. But you can store up many things. Jesus says, don't store a treasure where moth and rust destroy, meaning temporal, meaning physical, mean for the moment, instead of those values, those treasures which are of an eternal nature, which cannot be taken away by man. It's a beautiful thing. The reality, if we Christians would admit it and really come to grips, I've seen this all my life. It's not that unusual. I've seen Christians constantly store for themselves treasures that are no treasures at all, that will only rot, that will only die. And they'll do it and they'll consume their worry, their fear, all their life. Isn't it funny? We're going to live anywhere from, 40 to 105. And all that's going to matter is what we stored up for the next life. That's actually, God's told us. In fact, we won't stand before God and say, you know, Lord, I was really confused about that thing. You know, I really didn't know. God, it's all over the scripture. Men and women will answer to God in such a profound way, it will be horrifying in some context and a blessing in others. But don't store up things that moth and rust can destroy, because if you do, they will be destroyed, because that's which without eternal nature in it. That what you do that has no eternity within the way you do it is that which will rust. Simple as that. Self-willed goals will rust. The only thing that has an eternal nature is in a currency that really comes from heaven, and that really is eternal in its nature. What we don't realize is that you can treasure emotions, you can treasure pleasures, you can treasure money, you can, treasure comfort and so on, to where it becomes the greatest thing you pursue, the greatest thing you chase. But I love Jesus says, don't store them up, don't start accumulating, because here's the other thing. Many times there are many things we can value, and many times it's not just one thing that we value that is bad for us or bad to us. Christians will accumulate all kinds of things they treasure. one of the reasons the enemy has hit the church, and we've seen, you know, whether we saw Chrislam or all this bizarre stuff, it's a conversion of the value system of the church, absolutely. Enemy is behind it all the way. To where you have Christians, the truth of God becomes debatable. And God's truth, especially the ones that are, you know, conflictual, to where people argue in society about them. And it's interesting because as this goes on, Satan knows that he's taking what the church values and he's converting it. And once a church truly falls into this, they're done. They're done. Your life will be a manifestation of your different values, absolutely. And your situations that come and go will show what you value the most. Bottom line. It's not tricky. This isn't rocket science. And the real deal isn't don't ever make a mistake, because if you do, you're done. That's not that, because you're going to make a mistake. The real trick is when your life does manifest a value system, how do you recover from it? Do you look and say, wow, my value system is messed up. What God wants most, I want least. What he cares about, I don't even care. And when life brings about that manifestation, there needs to be a course correction. You know what's interesting? I've made mistakes, you've made mistakes, every Christian has made mistakes. But how they adapt and correct and change is really the only way to where a mistake is used for a benefit. One thing the church got into is it makes a lot of mistakes and never course corrects. It'll say, yeah, that was wrong, but you'll notice there's no thought about making it right. Just keep cruising along. And this is where it gets highly dangerous. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I do believe it's the Spirit of God that changes our value system. I experienced it. I think many of you experienced it. To where we got saved and all of a sudden, innately, we had stuff we didn't even want to do no more. We lost our appetite. Our value changed. I've told many stories about when I got saved and there were some things presented to me. And I was not offended, but I was disgusted. That which I had longed for, that which I, you know, you thank God for even getting evil things. And I remember immediately a currency change. What I valued changed. What turned me on started to turn me off, and it was overnight. I don't mean every little thing. There has been a lot of work on the enemy's part to change the value system of the church in America, and he has succeeded. But he is not God, nor will he prevail in the long run. But I believe God is speaking to the church to change its value system highly. And I've often used the word moralism, kind of a buzzword for me, only because the currency of the kingdom is a lot deeper than your morals. Morals are great, but also there are so many things. It's interesting. When Jesus says, he who saves his life and he doesn't lose his life for his sake, he's lost his life. But he who loses his life for my sake has gained his life. And you understand he's talking a value system that is so backwards and so different. Because self-preservation is one of the most human instincts. Even your physiological, your body, your physical body was wired by God to survive. You know, even as a person is passing, there are cells that are replicating like mad. At the pace that when you were an embryo developing. You know why? Because the body's wired to survive. It doesn't want to die. And yet, it's funny. Jesus said, he who loses his life for my sake will gain it. And it's a total thing. You realize when you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you look at these men and women gladly dying for the kingdom, you go, that's hard. I don't have that much faith. That's actually not the whole truth needed. Their value system was such that they would rather die than betray their master, betray their Savior Jesus. That's really what you were seeing, a demonstration of their value system. They were walking in kingdom currency. What they regarded as gold, God regarded as gold. What they valued above even their breath, God valued. Fox's Book of Martyrs is full of people where their value system were tried, tested, and they were burnt at the stake, and they succeeded. When often I look at stuff like this, and I read Fox's Book of Martyrs, I'll never forget a young man, I thought he had a call in his life, and he did. And I lent him Fox's Book of Martyrs. And he, about 3 weeks later, he came real perturbed, and he had the book. I said, "Oh, you got the book?" He said, I said, "Did you enjoy it?" He said, I never want to see anything like that again in my entire life. It was depressing, and it freaked me out. I thought, you've been raised in church, haven't you? Where the greatest value was some kind of form of religion versus really picking up your cross, denying yourself. And that would be the most important. Many Christians will die for that which is, doesn't give life, that which isn't worth anything, which is rubbish in the eyes of God. But they will die for it. Imagine if being pleasing to God was one of your highest currencies, the thing you valued the most. It was like gold to you. There was nothing greater than to know your Father was pleased in heaven. Think of how you'd live and what you would actually do. Think if being a temple of the Holy Spirit, because you are, you were made one, whether you lived up to it or not, really is the other end of the equation. Imagine if really seeing yourself for what you are and who you are and what you were meant for. Imagine if that was value, that was one of the highest things you valued in your life. Could you imagine what that would look like? What you treasure will hold you greatly. What you regard as most important will be seen in your actions. It'll be seen in the way you do things. It'll be seen in what you defend when you get angry and what you fight for. Absolutely. The interesting thing, going to church, and you guys know this, doesn't necessarily mean you got good currency. You could be religious and go to church. People do it all the time. I was raised in Catholicism where people went off to church all the time. Like clockwork, never missed it. Didn't know Jesus. Imagine if pleasing God was the greatest thing, the thing you treasured greatest. That mattered more than anything, more than pleasing man. Could you imagine what would happen? Now, none of this is bad news today. In fact, quite frankly, this is good news. Because here's the one thing, if you're realistic about this, your currency is going to be challenged again and again. What you value is going to be challenged again and again. See, oftentimes, even in temptation, what Satan is doing, he's coming to a value system. He knows the value system of God, he does. And he somehow has to convince you to trade something you value for something else to value. And that's why it says they traded the truth for a lie. Because you can't hold the truth and a lie in the same pot. That Satan knows this. So he knows he's got to get you to trade off one. If you give one, he'll put another in its place. You know, it's interesting when you use a weight to counterbalance a weight. I mean, if you do it right, I can find enough pebbles and there can be, you know, little gold rocks that are worth a whole lot. I can find the equal weight. It's a, you know, how balance beam works, and put it and make sure it balances. So I take that gold and put an equal weight of rocks. The balance still looks like this, but the truth is, these are worthless pebbles. They're worth nothing. 25 cents at a hardware place, not even. This is where the interesting part. Many times, as we're getting traded things, the balance doesn't start doing this; it stays equal. But that's a bit of the illusion, because when God truly weighs things, then you'll see that the worth of that controlled the weight of that versus just the sheer volume. I need you to listen to this stuff. It's not tricky, but there is a depth to it. This is part of what Satan's doing, part of what he's been doing, part of what he's going to do some more. This is how he works. This is how he operates. The most important thing, the proverb says, buy truth and do not sell it. And whether we will do that or not is going to really be up to each person. But I want you to think about that. I've seen people that they do know the Lord, there's no doubt. And they really had a radical salvation. But their value system has gotten so skewed and so switched and so distorted. And what they value now, what means the most to them, what they spend the most of their time on, has nothing to do with the kingdom of God whatsoever. But they're okay with that, because the enemy has been getting them to trade off a truth for a lie, truth for a lie, truth for a lie. And you know, the enemy is really good at doing this one thing at a time. He usually doesn't hit a Christian, because it would alarm a Christian if he tried to hit all there is at once. He just gets you to sell out this, sell out that, sell out this. Value this instead of this, value this instead of this. And you know, fool's gold is a great term when it comes to the devil, because that's what he's selling all the time. You You know, it's interesting. Statistics show that even church attendance is down, and that most Christians, the new, whatever they're called, Xers, Yers, they don't like to, going to church is not high value. Even modern churches, I see they will minimize their service because they can't get people to show up twice a week. I've seen churches go to Sunday. That's it. The people aren't even together other than that. I've seen pastors put it into the book of, well, you know, we're dealing with a different generation. And one thing about God's value systems, it really doesn't shift through the thousands of years, through the millennium. And yet I've watched it to where the value system... also, I want to tell you this. When someone has a bad value system, they will often try to also affect your value system, because if a person sees that manure as gold, and they're convinced of that, and you've got real gold, they're not going to appreciate your gold. They've bought into that pile of poop being their gold. So when you say this is gold, we get deceived. They're going to look, that's not gold, this is gold. And you can say, that's worthless. And they're going to say, no, it's not, it's worth a lot. But this is the whole thing. I got a word from the Lord, the reason I preach this. I was praying, and I felt this real strong, just about the currency. The Lord told me the currency of the church is going to change. I'm going to change it. I'm beginning to work in it. He didn't tell me it's done. In fact, what I sensed was that it's barely beginning. Now, he will take false currency and burn it. He will take bad currency and manifest it as bad as it really is, because God is gracious. He'll take what you value and absolutely wreck it. Nothing's more sad than when we as Christians allow currency to get shifted and we value the wrong thing, and then God begins to burn down the house and we're freaking out because we can't save what we thought was gold. And actually the whole time, wouldn't it bless you if you traded $1 million for $1 million and somebody took one of the dollars and started the fire on it and it burned like regular paper and you went, thank you. But until you realize it's counterfeit, you're going to, you know, freak out. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I want to close with Jesus. He says, you know, don't store up treasures that are temporal, that don't have any eternal nature to them. Because the life you're living is the life you're living as to head into eternity. It really is. There's an eternal nature about certain things we hold that they're rewarding because the Spirit of God is on them. They match up with God's Word. They're what God wants. And it's really critical today as we dismiss, because I do believe there's a change. And, you know, it's interesting. But even the valuation of church and faithfulness, I talk to a lot of people in ministry in a lot of different places. And it's the same all around. Churches are having a hard time functioning. Giving is down. I mean, way down. People are protecting themselves more than anything. I've seen churches remove all their missionaries. I just had a meeting not too long ago, and there was this church and I found out, and they said, we're cutting all our missionaries, we can't afford to run. Can't pay all our staff, because they had kind of an inflated staff. And I told the guy, listen, this will be the last move you make. If you do this, trust me, you can't afford to keep up the missionaries. If you rid yourself of the missionaries, I said, you won't have enough money to even survive. Guess what? All his staff is gone now, because they couldn't afford to pay them either. Isn't it interesting? We go, you know what? We're going to cut the mission spending here because we just can't do it. Now all that inflated staff and most, you know what I mean? Now you can't pay. And then some of them are working jobs out in the secular field because, well, you get rid of the missionaries, you get rid of your source funding. How twisted we have become that these kind of value systems start to come in, and all of a sudden I remember days where it's like, no. So-and-so in this country, they're getting their check. If I have to take less, they're getting their money. They need it. But it's interesting, because this particular church I was telling you about, they were a church that supported a record amount of missionaries at one time. And then they had descended and become this. Now they're in disarray. It's a mess. I would be surprised if they close the doors in the next year because of a value system that was wrong. Let's all rise and pray today. But God's doing the work. I want you encouraged today. None of what I'm saying to you is that I'm saying that we're in some, you know, deep funk and there's no hope. But what I'm saying is God will challenge many times, mine and yours. And sometimes your value of something important will get kind of worn down. And I want to encourage you today, if it's something that is gold in God's eyes, then let it be gold in your eyes. Let God deal with your heart today. Remember, what you don't value the most, what you allow to be reduced in your eyes, you're not, you know what, you're going to let it go. That's wrong. But there's a choice when you go, this is gold, I'm not giving it up. This is important. This is what God gave me, and you're going to grip to that. Father, even as we go today, just I wanted to talk about currency and what we value, what we call gold, what we call silver, what we call brass, what we call worthless. That your currency, your value system would be in us, God. Lord, I've met people that were moral. They were moral in some of the basic ways, but their value system was wrong. They had many things they called gold that were wrong, and they were still moral, and many times that was a false comfort because the kingdom agenda was totally absent. I just pray today, I want to value what you value. What's most important to you needs to be most important to us. If it isn't, we're going to have problems. You're calling men and women up. There's no doubt in my mind you're calling them up. You're saying the time is past to get this right, to get this right. You're wanting people to respond. So I just pray for not just us. There's a whole church out there. We're just a microcosm. We're a small part of a bigger church. And I pray you would bless people and that they would be returned to the values of prayer, the value of being who they were meant to be by the Creator. That there would be a shifting, I mean a tectonic plate shift on the value systems. Lord, what I regard is most important, I'm going to put my time and my energy into, I'm going to put my allegiance to it, absolutely. So I would pray even today as we would go from here that you would do a work in us. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate Matt speaking up. The things he said was, you know, it's you. It's really you. But most importantly, that we'd be pleasing to you. And many times, Lord, we can pray it, we can say it, but it's just simply not true. But it needs to be. That's the point. It needs to be true. Pour out on my brothers and my sisters here. I just pray you would touch us in a unique way today. I believe you are shifting. I believe the tides are turning. Lord, when a man wants to please God more than anything, he is a dangerous weapon in the hand of the Father. When we value pleasing you, even if that means going into foreign nations and risking our life, let those value systems be firm in us, God. Bring about, Father, the needed thing that you wish for us. Bring us to that place. Your touch today as we go. Bless us, God, and help us to see with your eyes, hear with your ears, and to feel with your heart. That's what we need, Lord. Deal with us in the name of Jesus.